Hitler, Hitler!
This is the leader of the movement that murdered Mahatma Gandhi.
Prime Minister of India Narendra Modi's visit to South Africa as guest of President Jacob Zuma has been described as a non-event by many South Africans of Indian descent. Whilst the visit will be aimed at strengthening economic, political and cultural ties between the two countries, people have not forgotten his role in the Gujarat riots of 2002. After the burning in Chamanpura, I came here. They killed people there. They attacked with swords. Struck my grandfather and aunt. When my father tried to save my grandfather, two of his fingers got chopped off. They stripped women before killing them. They stripped my aunt too. The men weren't stripped. When asked who did it, the little boy said Hindus.
There's tens of thousands of South Asian background people living in this. We all know what Modi is capable of, what he's done, and complicit in war crime. And we're all very, very angry that he was welcomed here, having a kind of party sort of thing. And we're very angry about that. Why we have to celebrate this?
He's nothing. He's nothing. He's a killer of the Muslims in Gujarat. Everybody should know, in 2001, he killed so many Muslims in his state, that's Gujarat.
The West has a track record of first supporting terrorists like Modi, supporting fascists, supporting fundamentalists, and then blaming the people.
Radio Islam spoke to a number of youth and they were in agreement that his visit was nothing that they were excited about. In fact, visits by other foreign heads of state generated more enthusiasm and interest. Whilst the ANC developed fraternal ties with the Indian National Congress, which continue to this day with India being the first country to break diplomatic relations with apartheid South Africa. In more recent times, our country has partnered with India and later joined Brazil, Russia and China to form BRICS. In his most recent visit to the UK, Narendra Modi achieved a rock and roll milestone by selling out Wembley Arena with 60,000 of his fans in London last November. Dozens of groups argued that far from being a progressive force in India, Modi is an authoritarian and divisive figure with a checkered and bloody history in Indian politics. One of the major concerns of the Indian Prime Minister's critics is his leadership of the state of Gujarat. Over a decade ago, when a riot by Hindu nationalists saw as many as 2,000 people killed, mostly Indian Muslims. Caught up in the horror were four British men from Yorkshire. Only one survived.
There's a big gang people surrounding us. And we're pleading for our lives, showing our passports, saying that we're from the UK. But they didn't want anything to do with it. They said to us, take your trousers down, we're going to see if you've been circumcised, if you are a Muslim, you know, if you are, we'll kill you, kind of thing. I got stabbed in the leg, got hit in the head. God knows how I'm still here today.
In February of that unfaithful year, Sakil and Saeed Dawood went to India with their childhood friend Muhammad Azwat and their 18-year-old nephew Imran. Whilst returning from an excursion trip to witness the majestic beauty of the Taj Mahal, their joyful adventure turned into a nightmare. Within hours of crossing the Gujarat border, a roadblock, manned by a well-organized mob fueled by religious hatred, stopped the British tourists.
After Imran had lost consciousness, he wasn't. Saeed and Sakil had been taken to a nearby factory and they'd been tortured and they'd been brutalized and they'd been murdered.
The mob circled the jeep and demanded to know from the occupants their religious identity. The tourists answered that they were British citizens and were indeed Muslims. The hired driver was then dragged out of the jeep and attacked with sticks and killed on the spot. His body was then thrown back into the vehicle and set alight. In the meantime, British tourists were chased to a nearby farm. Muhammad Azwat and Imran were stabbed and left for dead. Imran miraculously survived and he recalls Saeed and Sakil pleading with the mob to spare all their lives. Now Modi was accused of condoning the violence and was banned from Britain, the European Union and the US for 10 years as a result. In 2012, the year that the ban expired, India's Supreme Court cleared him of involvement in the massacre. Modi's critics do not hold much stock in that decision and point out that he has never expressed any remorse for it. Some of the people that Radio Islam spoke to were still haunted by the ghosts of Gujarat, with many describing that the shrill cries of the few thousands who were killed, maimed, burnt and raped during the 2002 riot still ring in the ears. The deaths, injuries, mayhem and destruction of property that followed the fateful burning on the 27th of February 2002 of the train in Godhra will remain a bloody blot on India's history, and Modi's role in this whole unfortunate incident won't be forgotten. The jury is still out as to whether or not the official organs of the Gujarat state were complicit in the attacks during that terrible period. Although Modi has escaped censure for the riots, one of his closest aides, Maya Kodnani, was jailed for 28 years for her role in what took place in Gujarat.
It's being seen as a landmark judgment in the Gujarat riot cases. 10 years after one of the worst massacres of the post-Godhra riot killed, a Gujarat trial court finally sentenced close Narendra Modi aide and former Gujarat minister Maya Kodnani to 28 years in jail.
The undeniable truth, though, is that India's ruling elite cannot escape moral culpability for the gross violations of human rights and acts of genocide that occurred in those horrifying 3 weeks. And since becoming Prime Minister after the BJP won elections in a landslide 18 months ago, he has faced a growing chorus of criticism that his government has overseen a culture of intolerance and stoked caste and religious prejudice. A 31-year-old student by the name of Ram Karan Nirmal, who raised slogans against Prime Minister Narendra Modi at an event at Lucknow's university, was reportedly evicted from his hostel accommodation as a punitive measure, chanted slogans of "Modi, go back." Now, through our participation in the struggle for freedom and democracy in South Africa, we have come to accept that our destiny is tied to the future of fellow South Africans. Prime Minister Modi's meeting with President Zuma, important as it may be, will not change the fact that we are South Africans living on the African continent. Many are accusing the South African government for placing business above principle, although officials point out that a series of investigations have not established a link between Modi and the murderous mobs. Prominent individuals from around the world say that the red carpet treatment countries welcome Modi with is particularly painful.
They've behaved in a very shameless way because they are no longer putting human rights and what happened in 2002 on the agenda, and that's quite disgusting.
The English government has shown a lack of sensitivity towards the family, and obviously this isn't acceptable.
Now, what Modi will be addressing remains to be seen, with questions related to Kashmir and Gujarat definitely not on the menu. Is his visit even worth all the fuss?
More than 100 academics in the United States have written a letter protesting Modi's visit to Silicon Valley, warning tech giants of dangers of doing business with a government that has, quote, demonstrated its disregard for human rights and civil liberties, as well as the autonomy of educational and cultural institutions, unquote. Prime Minister Modi spoke before a crowd of 18,500 people in San Jose. 3,000 people reportedly protested outside the venue, drawing attention to Modi's record on human rights. Before his election, Modi was barred from the United States for many years over his role in anti-Muslim riots in 2002.
Human Rights Watch has come out saying that what happened in Gujarat was not a spontaneous uprising. It was a carefully orchestrated attack against Muslims. The attacks were planned in advance and organized with extensive participation of the police and state government officials. We as fellow human beings remember our brothers and sisters who so tragically lost their lives during those horrific days we all would like to forget. Muhammad Amin reporting for Radio Islam News.